Now, as far as the sugya on Daf Yud is concerned, we have this friction between Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu, Chizkiyahu the Melech, Yeshayahu the Navi, and we have the Pshara, the great compromise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why Koheles, Shlomo Melech Bespailus, he says, Mi ke'achacham u'mi yodea pesha dover. Who is the great wisdom, the wisdom of Almighty God, the infinite wisdom? She yodea pesha dover, pesha melech pshara, that he knows how to make a compromise between the two. Meaning that Chizkiyahu is going to fall ill. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects that Yeshayahu is going to visit Chizkiyahu and be Mekayim Mitzvah Bikur Cholim. No one, the onlooker, the spectator, doesn't have to think that it's because the Navi is kowtowing to the Melech and giving precedence to the Melech, as if the Kavod HaMelech here takes the first seat and he takes the back seat. No, it's only because of Bikur Cholim. And even though in a certain sense Chizkiyahu wins out over here because he doesn't have to go to Navi, to the Navi, vice versa, but that's only because Chizkiyahu is going to suffer this terrible disease. He's chole. And what's the first thing that Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyahu? Which is very paradoxical, because if you be Mekayim the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, you want to encourage the Cholim. But the first thing he says, Vayovu elov Yeshayahu ben Amoz Hanavi, Vayomer elov, Ko amar Hashem, Tzav lebeischa ki meis hatov lo tichyeh. Very strange. And the Gemara says, what's the double language? Meis hatov lo tichyeh, meis hatov lo mazeh, v'lo tichyeh lo mabo. I mean, that's the greatest Bikur Cholim you could do, right? Okay. But I guess, you know, Yeshayahu is telling it like it is. What?
It's a nefesh. I mean, to keep him in his lack of knowledge doesn't do anything.
Right. In a sense, the rebuke of Yeshayahu is very critical, and it's actually going to save the life of Chizkiyahu, as we'll see. So that's the Bikur Cholim. But you really have to dig a little bit below the surface, you know, because straightforward, that's the strange kind of Bikur Cholim. Then, now what ensues here in the Gemara is this conscious debate between Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu on the second level. The first round was a debate who should come to whom, but the second level was on a much more profound issue, which can have repercussions, as we say, in general. And that is, Chizkiyahu wants to remove himself from a mitzvah. The obligation of Piri Verivya is all-inclusive, and it's incumbent upon every single Jew. But Chizkiyahu says, you know what? I'm outside this mitzvah. This mitzvah doesn't apply to me. It's sort of like, you know, Shlomo Melech says, Lo Yarva Lo Susim, don't worry, I have no problem. I'll get married to so many women. Nothing's going to happen, right? Some people, they like to interpret the law, and then they put themselves above the law. So Chizkiyahu says, look, I saw Baruch HaKodesh, I'm going to have Banim Delomaili. HaKodesh Baruch Hu wants us to procreate in order to bring children into this world that will serve Him. And these children are not going to serve Him. The Chazoyli Baruch HaKodesh, the Nafki Minoi Bnin Delo Mailu. These are not going to be children that we'll be proud of. Einam Mehugonim, the Mepharshim say. And Yeshayahu fights him tooth and nail. Omer Lebahadi Kavshi Drachmana Lomalach. What right do you have to dig deeply into the hidden meanings of the mitzvah and give your own explanations, and also to rely on Ruach HaKodesh as if you know the future, you know, and this and that? That's not your business. That's outside of the purview of the mitzvah. May demifkanet iboy lach lemevet. That which you're obligated to do, you have to do.
By the way, it doesn't contradict.
He doesn't contradict his Ruach HaKodesh, you mean? Is that what you mean to say? Or his logic he doesn't contradict? What did you mean?
He doesn't contradict his Ruach HaKodesh.
Oh, right. He does seem to... You see, the question is how to read the words Bahadi Kavshi Drachmana. If it... Kavshi Drachmana means... If it means the deeper secrets of the future, meaning God has this vision of what's going to happen down the line, and you're now penetrating behind the walls, you know, you're removing all the veils, and you want to enter into the secret, you know, chambers of God that looks with a perspective on all the future, then I think maybe Yeshayahu is implying that when it comes to halacha, when it comes to practical mitzvahs and how to fulfill them, you have no right to pierce into Kavshei Rachmana. Ruach HaKodesh is not for you. You want to use Ruach HaKodesh for good things, that's okay, but to use Ruach HaKodesh in order to undermine the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya, that you don't have to do. But you're right, I don't think he's questioning the Ruach HaKodesh per se. but he's questioning the applicability of Ruach HaKodesh, the value or the power of a person who receives a vision of Ruach HaKodesh to use that to determine how he's going to live his life and whether he's obligated in a mitzvah or not. That's not acceptable. But I think on a deeper level, maybe Bahadi Kavshi Derachmona Lomaloch means, Kavshi Derachmona means the Sisrei HaMitzvah. Every mitzvah is a gzeres hakosav. It's a divine decree. You can give tamei mitzvahs. The Rambam dedicates the third chelik of Bar Nevuchim to tamei mitzvahs. It's all wonderful, but don't start paskening shailas based on your tamei mitzvahs. Even when the Torah gives a tamei mitzvah, you don't even rely on it. Like for example, a yarva l'susim, the Torah says he's going to it's going to somehow detract from a person's focus. And listen, you have no right to enter into that. The Torah says a law. And that's mandated, you have to accept it. Truth is, my Rebbe Rav Salvation used to always say that there's really no difference between chukim and mishpatim. The only difference is that mishpatim are intuitively rational, we relate to them, and we think we understand them. But at the end of the day, a mishpat, no less than a chok, is a gzeres hakosav. And therefore, to try to say svaris that we can kill people for the sake of mercy killing, euthanasia, and abortion, and all these things, you know, today, you know, modern 21st century morality has come up with a head for everything. Homosexuality, everything's okay. Why? Because these are mishpatim. And if they're mishpatim, we can play with them. No. Even the mishpatim ultimately are chukim, meaning you could try and try as much as you want to understand them. But why God gave the mitzvah, what motivated Kaviyokal Hashem, that's beyond your understanding. It's God's will, and it begins with His will. It's Ratzon Hashem. In any event, whether or not the machlokas here between Yeshayo and Chizkiyahu is a more specific machlokas about whether we are allowed to use Ruach HaKodesh, not allowed to use Ruach HaKodesh, or whether it's a more bombastic, far-reaching machlokas about whether man has the right to interpret the law and give explanations for the law, you know, that those are two ways, I think they're both valid. Amale. Okay, so now at this point, this is I think where we got to, Chizkiyahu sort of backtracks a little. He realizes that Yeshayahu is giving him a very hard time here. And he says to him following, Hashta now, Havli Bratach, let me marry your daughter, Bas Yeshayahu ben Amotai, that's a real yichus, Efshar and possibly the Garmas Chusa di di vididach, Vinafkiminai banim demali. Now, I think a literal translation of this Gemara is, in a sense, misleading. You know, it's kind of flat. You know, like matzah. You know, I like a good piece of bread. Matzah I have to eat, but literally what he's saying is that, you know what, I'll have my zchuyot, you know, whatever I accomplished, Chizkiyahu was meant to be Mashiach in the original plan. And you, Yeshayahu, through your daughter, have your zchuyot, the double whammy, you know, the tarti l'tivus of the zchuyot, this is going to change the whole history. The whole future. But I think on a deeper level, perhaps what he's saying is not zchut in the metaphysical sense, in the sense of mysticism, you know, that God looks into, you know. No, I think what the zchut here means is what we call child rearing. The way you raise a child. Chizkiyahu has his way of raising a child. And Yeshayahu, his raise. Imagine the child who has a father Chizkiyahu and a grandfather Yeshayahu, and these are the influences around him. And even if Chas v'Shalom the child goes off to derech, which sometimes happens, even in the most outstanding families, but nevertheless, that child was raised in the right way. He will eventually come back, or he may eventually come back. That's why I think the word zchus is. Just explain it at that level. Amale, and this is a very shocking response of Yeshayahu Anovi, Kfar Nigzera Alecha Zera. Too late, finito, ball game over. You already have the Gzera. The decree is signed and sealed. It's too late. Yeah, we cover Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because it's before the Chasimus Adin. Now it's ready after the Chasimus Adin. And this incurs the wrath of Chizkiyahu. He says, Adkan. I can tolerate you, Yeshayahu HaNavi, but now you've impacted on me. I'm willing to backtrack. I realize I didn't do the right thing. I want to marry your daughter. And all of a sudden, you give me this frumkeit, this chumah de la, the shein kamosa, that you know what, buddy? It's too late. That I can't tolerate. get out of here. That's mamish what he does. Chizkiyahu throws him out. Amale, he says to him, he doesn't even call him by his first name. Ben Amotz, he calls him. He says to him, Kalei Nevu Ascha Vetzei. You know what I'm saying? Don't even add another word to your Nevu. You've overstepped your bounds. Vetzei, and I would say Tzei means literally. You know, you're no longer welcome over here. Kach Mekublani Mibeis Avi Abba. Again, you know, Chizkiyahu is a grandson of David HaMelech. Afilu cherev chadamunachas al tzavor shel adam al yisya'ish min akoronios am yimna atzo min arachm. There's another mimer. In other words, tefillah could always help. There's no such thing as kvar nigzor agzera. You're talking about a cherev chada. It's already, you know, the king has already decided chas shom, you're going to be this, and yet there's still room for tefillah. Okay, now let's put the Gemara on the side and let's take a look at the Ein Haya. Here we want to look on page 54, Kuf Lamed Zayin on the left side. Vayovo I love Yishayo Mishum Tlo Asakta Bepiri Veriv. The harsh gzera is because you did not get involved in the mitzvah period of Amalei.
He was probably married.
I don't know that he was married, unless you know that. I'm always afraid. You know, people in my classes sometimes tell me something, and I don't know where they're pitching it from left field. I don't know that. You know. Amalei mishum chazoy li beruach hakosh nafki minoi bonin delom alamei bahari kafshu achmon olam. He says the following. You remember, of course, and this we studied at great depth in Kuf Lamed Vav, the previous Simon, that Rav Kook sees in Malchus and Nevuah concepts that go way beyond Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. This confrontation that we're learning about here is not limited to two human beings, flesh and blood, that lived at a certain moment at a certain time. This is a conflict, the depths of which spans all generations. Chizkiyahu represents Malchus, Yishayahu represents Nevuah. These are fundamentally two different approaches to Avodas Hashem. The approach of Malchus is the Hoveh, to address the critical issues of the nation. That's what the king's job is. Nevuah is to guarantee the future long term down the line of Klal Yisrael. So now Chizkiyahu, who's completely focused on the Hoveh, he's very nervous, because what's going to be the situation like after he dies? You know, we're not talking generations down the line, the very next generation. Who's going to take over the Malchus? Chas v'shalom, my son who's a Rasha? And therefore, since the Ruach Elokim, meaning the Ruach HaKodesh that he had, that sort of rested over him, allowed him to see that his children will be mashchisim, that's a very harsh word, they'll be totally destructive. He says this could be absolutely destructive when such a personality will reach the Kisei HaMalchus. So this is the daiga of a melech for the present. And I would honestly say to you that at one level, the machlokas between Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu here is al pidin. It's mamash halachic machlokas. What I mean to say is the following. True, the mitzvah of Piri Veruv is a great mitzvah. The Gemara calls it a mitzvah rabbah. Yerushalmi says that for the sake of Piri Veruv, we could sell a sefer Torah, which we can't do in general. And for the sake of Piri Veruv, we might be able to violate certain drabbanos. I mean, Piri Veruv is a big, big mitzvah. It's one of the biggest. But nevertheless, there is a principle called pikuach nefesh, doches kol Torah kula. The only exceptions are Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Tovah, Avodah Zarah, but Piri Veruv, with all due respect, is not one of the big three. I don't violate the Shabbos for period of review. It's not pikuach nefesh. And therefore, what happens, again, it's a very hard thing to think about, but imagine if pikuach nefesh would clash with period of review. Imagine if the only woman on the face of the earth I could marry is located deep in the jungles, and I'd have to defeat all the animals and the bears and the tigers and the lions in order to pursue her. You know, something out of a Walt Disney movie, you know, fantasy movie. Halacha would say you're part of Imperial Arabia. There's no din of pikuach nefesh.
He's also saying it's shevel taaseh. It's not
correct.
Anything.
I'm not violating anything. But to put my son, who's a mashkis, as the melech, I don't know where that might lead. That might even endanger the entire nation. So for that, I'm chayav and very, very interesting. You know, you can put Chizkiyahu's framework into his perspective into a halachic framework. It wasn't that Chizkiyahu HaMelech was saying, you know what? I know the Tamei HaMitzvahs, and God wouldn't have commanded me in such a case. Forget about Tamei HaMitzvahs. That's not what Chizkiyahu was saying. Chizkiyahu was saying there's a pikuach nefesh situation. And this reminds me, by the way, you know, again, B'mayim Ramuzger, of the famous tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda, a landmark tshuva. And the question was, Netuche Mesim, are you allowed to perform an autopsy on the body of someone who died from a very rare disease, in the hope that through this autopsy, the medical examiners and the medical profession will be able to determine how in the future we can deal with this disease? And they'll be the asks. He says, Pikuach Nefesh has to be now, urgent, this minute. 100 years from now, somebody will come down with the same machla. That's not the way halacha operates. Even if I know for sure that ultimately there'll be a pikuach nefesh situation, that's not the halacha. The halacha requires pikuach nefesh now. Chola lefanecha. You have someone who's sick and he's contracted the same disease and his life is in the balance, then we'll be matir nituchei mesim with all the severe violations. But you're talking about anticipating down the line, for the sake of medical research, somebody will contract this disease. That's not how the halacha operates. And this is the famous tshuva also of Rav Avadya Yosef regarding Entebbe. You know, the Rabin, Zichron of Rocha, if you could say that. I mean, it depends on your perspective about Yitzhak Rabin, but I don't want to get into politics here. But, you know, he turned to Rav Avadya because he wanted the Geshpanka, the Rabbanut, to send Chayalim in, and endanger their lives in Entebbe. Of course, we lost Yonatan. And Rav Avadya Yosef in that tshuva says that if you'll argue that if we free terrorists from jail, you know, the way they were negotiating with us, those terrorists will come back and endanger the lives of Jews, and if we can't let that happen, he says, that's not how the halacha operates. We don't have to. It's a 40-page tshuva. It was published in Torah Malpeh. I think it was probably republished, I assume. He was the chief rabbi then, the Sephardic chief rabbi. Rav Avadya says that the fact that the terrorists will come back and haunt us, we'll deal with it then. You know, hopefully the security forces will be able to overcome them. So that's the whole issue. And this issue about freeing terrorists from jails, you know, the Israelis for decades, we don't negotiate with terrorists. I mean, that's what happened in Malot. Who forget? You're old enough to remember Malot. I remember hearing the shots. I mean, because they had it on the radio. I mean, the children never have perished. And the question was, can we negotiate with these Yimach Shemomniks? And the Israeli government was absolutely adamant. We don't negotiate with terrorists. We're not going to free terrorists from jail. I mean, those days are bygone. I mean, now it's a whole different story. Now we'll negotiate with anybody. You know. But anyway, that's a different, I don't want to... It's a good point.
It's a very prevalent shalasti today.
Right. I mean, to what extent can we free these guys who are going to come back?
They talk about, I don't know if I've heard, Noach Hannibal.
Oh.
It's the same concept. That means, do you, if there's a chatifa of a chayal, what right. do you do? Are you, and it's the same concept.
Right, should we judge the future and the repercussions, or should we look at the present?
You say, even if the chayal is killed.
Right. Right. Yeah. I remember when Waxman Olam Shalom, what was the first name? Nachum?
Not Nachum.
To tip my tongue. Okay. Nachum.
Waxman.
When he was killed, you know, we lost at least two soldiers. You know, they tried to storm the thing. So what is the counter argument of Yeshayahu and Navi? He says, "Ki anevuah meshakefet al matzav hanitzchi shel ha'am." Nevuah goes way beyond malchus. Malchus is focused on the here and the now. Nevuah has a perspective of the future and the eternity of the people of Israel. Okay, it's true. Every generation is a link in that chain, and has an ultimate significance. But I'm interested in the chain, not in the link in the chain. The truth is that one generation is like nothing compared to Nitzchius, compared to eternity. And if the kingship will indeed fall into the hands of a bad person, okay, we'll have to survive that. But what's your alternative? Your alternative, when you're proposing Chizkiyah, is Hefsek HaMelucha. You are the last in the chain of the Malchus Beis David. If you don't occupy yourself with the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya, then what you're doing is you're undermining this mishpacha, this family of David, from the Kisei HaMelech. And that might endanger the entire Nitzchius of Klal Yisrael. You know, it's interesting, because if this would have happened today, you know, if Yeshayahu HaNavi was getting up in front of our yeshiva and giving a shiur klali, you know what? The Talmidim would rise up and say, but Yeshayahu, how can you say such a thing? What are you worried about? Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir. We have haftachas that there's going to be a Mashiach and we will overcome. No, that Yeshayahu is not interested in that. Yeshayahu honestly believes that Chizkiyahu has the ability to completely cut off Nitzchius from Klal Yisrael. It's mind-boggling. Nefila Nitzchus, he calls it. And therefore, you want to weigh the two and say, well, what about the terrible downfall and the michshol that's going to be caused by one evil Russia? You know what? That doesn't outweigh the putting into jeopardy the entire endeavor of the eternity of the people of Israel. The fact that there'll be one Melech Russia, Zeyavar, Gam Zeyavar, we say. You know, it'll pass.
So why did he give
him his daughter? That's an interesting question. You know, actually, we never really addressed that question. You know, what was Yeshayahu saying when he said that the Gzeira is irreversible? Okay. Maybe we'll come back to that. He says, at the end of days, don't worry, Yichon Kisei B'Tzedek will somehow survive that one rotten link in the generation, you know, your child. Ein lanu lismoch lahafzik shalsheles hanitzchis b'shvil hashkofat zmanis af shebo miruach hakodesh. We will not jeopardize the shalshelet hanitzchit. Beautiful phrase, it's poetic. Shalshelet hanitzchit. Nitzchiyut is a chain, even for the sake of Malchus. The Hashkof of Malchus is Zmanit. It's focused on this immediate future. We are focused on the eternity of Klal Yisrael. And even if your understanding of what's going to happen is based on Ruach HaKodesh, it doesn't matter. And I think maybe what the Rav is implying here is that, you know, Chizkiyahu is going to say, so why did I get this Ruach HaKodesh? It must have been a message from Hashem. It says, Yeshayahu, no messages here. With all due respect to Ruach HaKodesh, we have to do what we have to do. We have to guarantee the future of Klal Yisrael, the eternity of Klal Yisrael. That's the perspective of Nevuah. You know, in a funny kind of sense, you know, you know, when you walk away from this sugya, you ask yourself, who's the optimist and who's the pessimist? And intuitively, knee-jerk response, we think that Chizkiyahu is the all-time optimist, you know, because give me a daughter and everything's going to straighten itself out, and afilu cherev chadam unachas al tzavaro, al yisya'ish ben arachamim, and so forth. No, I kind of, after we see this, that Yeshayahu is the optimist. Why? Because Yeshayahu is saying like this, you know what? We'll have one rotten chain. You know, in the history of Klal Yisrael, there are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be a lot of bumps on the road. And Klal Yisrael is a history of zigzags. It goes this way, it goes that way. But ultimately, we'll survive. We'll overcome this glitch of a very difficult melech in the next generation. Oh. But now we have the next debate, and that's going to be in Kuflam and Ches, in which Chizkiyahu claims that no matter how bad the Gzeira seems to be, al yisya'ish, there's no yesh. It's interesting that here the Gemara says Al Yimna Atzmo Min Haracham, and that's Losh in the Gemara. But elsewhere, the Gemara says Al Yisyaish Min HaPeronios. Let me just see if I can find that. I think it's back on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, could it be, or Gimel Amud Beis, or am I just fooling myself? Let's see. Where is the sugya that we had? Do you remember about a Rosh Hashanah Mesacheches Lo? In that sugya, all right, our time is too precious here, and I'm always afraid I won't.
It's with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir.
No, that's the one about Bruria you're talking about. Yeah. Right, right. No, no. There's a Gemara that says that. Yeah, maybe in that sugya it says there, Al Yisyoish Min HaPeronios. There the Gemara used the Lashon Yeush. I wanted to point that to you. Okay, I'll find it for you, Belina, a little bit later, but not now. So he says the following. Every gzera, oh, this is a beautiful piece. Every gzera has a premise. And the question is whether that premise can be trumped, can be overridden, so to speak. He says the following. When we're looking from a perspective of nitzchiyut, right, that's Yeshayahu HaNavi's perspective, then even though the arm of God operates within the Hove, within the perspective of the now, nevertheless, there's a much more far-reaching, a broader perspective, which is called Nitzchius. He says the following: Hagzera ikar anachasa hi lefi erech shal shelas anitzius shahasivos hamasiachus yusei lefi mahalach hamitzius aval yad Hashem ocheses kam v'mahalach ahove lavdilo letova mikishrei asivos hakodmos uli ogdo imoim acher kach v'zui malas hatfilo shenikreis chayisha al keng sha'omer lo b'tar novi al divrei al das agzera nimshches mikoch nevua sheyesh b'mitzius hanhaga mekabelis la nitzchius omer lo kalei nevua schavitzei emesi hanavua lefi erech hanitzius levado avol yesh gam chayisha she'ale omer dovi v'yot chatisi v'tchunasa lahoil hi atfila amro memes adam matzav ahov maveres gam kein gzera nimshches mibas hanitzchius. Wow. He says this is what I call counterintuitive. Ipcha mistabra. You would think that the gzera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally anchored and rooted in the perspective of Nitzchius. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, let's look at Nevuah. And the Nevuah tells us that there was a gzera that was already decreed. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed something that's totally irreversible. That's the perspective of Nitzchius. Ah, Chizkiyahu wins the day, and he teaches us a very, very profound lesson. And that is that there's something called Chayesha. This is what I call the Ipcha Mistabra. That the Chayesha is going to defeat the perspective of Nitzchius. That's the Koach HaTfilah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested not only in the future, in the Nevuah, in the Gzera from a perspective of Nitzchius, but he's also interested in the present, in this moment now. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find the way of reconciling all contradictions. You have Akasha, how could it be? After God's Gzera, He's going to remove the Gzera. The Gzera itself comes from the Divrei Navi. It represents Nitzchius. No. Don't worry. Leave the work to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows how to take a Gzera, which is Nimsheches Mikach Nevuah, and superimpose upon that Gzera the Mitzius of now, of Chayesha. Yeah, emesi, HaNevuah lefi erech HaNitzchius. It's true that Nevuah has a very solid foundation. It sits on Nitzchius, on eternity. But yet, Yesh Gam Ken Chayisha, paradoxically, there is something called the minute of the hour. And David HaMelech in Tillim describes the ace biyadcha, that God is in control of this moment in time. And therefore, the ability of the Chayisha of Tefillah that addresses Chayisha is to elevate a person in his present situation such that it even has the ability to be ma'avir gzeira nimsheches minitzchius. Very fascinating presentation here to understand the principle of afilu cherev munachas al tzavar. The cherev munachas al tzavar is reminiscent, it symbolizes the gzeira. And the gzeira against Chizkio, which Yeshayo prophesies about, is signed and sealed. Chizkio is going to die. But yet, al yimna atzo min rachamim, a person still has the ability to be mevakesh rachamim. Because even though, as Rav Kook points out in his opening line, ha'gzeira hanachasi hi lufi erech shalshelas ha'nitzchiyus, even though that gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reflects the perspective of eternity, sha'asibos misyachsos misoveim lufi mahalich ha'mitzios, nevertheless, the cause and effect relationship is connected to the mitzius, which can be impacted by tefillah. Because Yad Hashem Ochezes Mahalach HaHove, because God doesn't forsake or overlook the moment, the present moment now, La'adilo L'tova Mikishrei Asivos HaKodmos. And even though within the perspective of Nitzchias, there's an entire chain of cause and effect relationships from A to B to C, a whole domino theory like billiards, you know, one ball hits the other and hits the other. And from the overall perspective of Nitzchias, there was a decision up on high that Chizkio would die. But nevertheless, God could take the Hoveh, this little piece of the puzzle of the now, and remove it from Kishrei Asivos HaKodmos, remove it from the cause and effect relationship, that entire chain that led to this gzera. And why would Hashem do this? What could bring about that transition, that change? It's Milas HaTefillah. That's the Chayisha. And therefore, you know what? With all due respect, Yeshayahu HaNavi, you're pointing out that the gzera was signed and sealed, and you're saying that as a Navi, because you know that the gzera is from that perspective of Nevuah, which is the eternal perspective, the cause and effect. Chizkio has no right to live anymore. It's true. But you know what? Nevuah here has to take a back seat. Because there is in the Metzius of the now a Hanhaga that goes beyond Nitzchius in a certain sense, that overcomes and overlooks that whole broad spectrum and perspective of cause and effect, which leads to a gzera. And that's the greatness of Tefillah's Chayisha. What I find particularly fascinating about this piece is the way he uses the phrase Chayisha. Because until I saw this paragraph, I would have taken a bechina, and I would have answered with almost like a shvur doraisa, without any hesitation, that chayisha is a negative term. For example, the Gemara talks about people who are dedicated to the study of Torah, and the chak toraso naso is potem in atfilah. And the Gemara asks, why? How can he be potem in atfilah? He's not going to go daven because he's learning. And the Gemara answers, because Torah is chayolam, and tefillah is chayisha. And the phrase Chayisha is indicative of a lower level. You're concerned with the here and the now. But when you use tefillah in terms of the perspective of, again, b'merachot kfulot, of the impact on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the shomea tefillah, then all of a sudden Chayisha just rises majestically and radiates with a certain power that could even overcome the perspective of Nitzchius. And here the Malchus perspective overcomes and trumps Nitzchius and Nevuah. Why? Because the Gzeir is Mikach and Nevuah. But Tefillah is Mikach Chayisha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find a way of reconciling Chayisha with Nitzchius.
In fact, he's telling
I'm listening. Yeah.
Telling him that the nitzchiyut is actually created by many, many bumps of chayei sha'a. And that means you can't say I'm only looking at the nitzchiyut, because the nitzchiyut is created by the here and now and the afterwards. And if you're not willing to commit, because what is Yeshayahu telling him? He said, you've got the gzera, it's your problem, I'm looking at the end result. And he says, no, the end result is also determined by the chayei sha'a of mine.
Excellent.
And the next. And if you're not willing to commit yourself by giving your daughter to me, to marry and be part of this chayei sha'a, your nevuah is really not worth
it. Not worth very much, right? You know, I'm tempted to think, you know, Chazal say that a Novi Sheker is someone who gives prophecy and it doesn't come to pass. In this case, it's a very strange thing, because the nevuah of Yeshayo is that you know you're going to die, and at the end of the day we'll see that God abrogates that nevuah. But I think we have to distinguish between what's called a nevuah letova and a nevuah lera. If it's a nevuah letova, eina chozeres liolam. So if the Navi predicts that, for example, Klal Yisrael is going to win a certain battle and they lose, he's a Navi Sheker, by definition. But if, on the other hand, he predicts that they'll lose and they win, he's not a Navi Sheker. Because a Nevuah Lera can be a Nevuah Chozeres. And I think that principle has to apply here in this context. Okay. So what happens at the end of the day? Who wins this debate? So we go back to the Gemara, and the Gemara tells us that this story actually has a happy ending. We always like a happy ending, right? And what happens? Yoav le lebesof, Yoav le darte. Okay. Fine, I skipped a little bit of the Gemara, but lebesof, Yoav le barte, and Yeshayo's daughter marries the king. Nafik minei Menashe v'Rav Shakeh. We have to see what the meaning of that name Rav Shakeh is. Yom Achado, Rachvinu Akatfe Lamtiyinu LeBeis Midrasha. Chizkiyo is carrying his two sons piggyback to bring them to the Beis HaMedrash. And you get the impression that this is a very big day. That this is when they, you know, they are going to enter into the Beis HaMedrash and bring them into the sviva, you know, the atmosphere that will influence them in the right way. You know, here in Eretz Yisrael, they have a minug that when they bring the child to a cheder for the first time, they carry him on their shoulders and they put honey under his tongue, and you know, and it's, I think it's all based on this Gemara that, you know, we should be markiv these children al ktefayim. And if you ask the question, but maybe this is not kvod malchus, you know, melech shemochal kvod aim kvod machul, but maybe if it's for the sake of limud Torah and to give the children the sense of chashivus of what it, how significant and how central it is to study Torah, that doesn't in any way undermine kvod malchus. Not like some of the mafarshim who say that he did it pitznius and nobody saw him. I don't think you have to go that way. So what happens? Omar Chad Minayu. Each one of these two children had something to say about going to the Beis Medrash. And both statements are very, very cynical. Very negative. So one of them, Chad Minayu, and I'm going to assume that this is Menashe, we'll see if I'm right. Chazi Reisha Di Abba Limitve Be Gildone. Okay, the head of our father is wide enough that if you take small fish, which are called gildane, you can actually fry them on his head. You know, imagine like putting a frying pan on his head, and we could fry some small fish on his head. And basically, what he's trying to say is that this is a useless and a futile effort. He's bringing us to the Beis HaMedrash. Nothing's going to come of that. Because it's like he's dealing with small fish. He's not going to succeed in having any influence. The Chadomer, the other one said, and again, I'm going to assume that this is Rav Shike, he says, Chazi Reisha Da'aba, look at the head of our father, Li'akruvi Aleila Vodazara. It's worthy to take an animal and sacrifice it for an idol on top of his head. And of course, at this point, Chizkiyahu realizes that the nevuah of Yeshayahu HaNavi came to fruition. I'm sorry, that the Ruach HaKodesh that he received, that he would have Bani Delomaili, came to fruition. Now, I'm not saying he had any doubt, that he didn't know about it beforehand, but if he had any shadow of a doubt, now he hears it in the ears, you know. So what does he do? Chavtinu bi'ara. Now, if you take this Gemara literally, and I think we're going to see that Rav Kook refuses to do so, at least that's my claim, it's not explicit in Rav Kook, he actually caused their death, or at least in the case of Rav Shake, he caused his death, which is a very strange kind of thing, to imagine a father killing his own child. But Menashe Chaya, Menashe somehow survived it. They probably rushed him to, you know, to tear him, and somehow they, I don't know, they did surgery and he survived, I don't know. But Rav Shke Anes, Rav Shaki died. Kariya Nafshe, and Chizkiyo quoted a pasuk, also from Yeshayahu HaNavi, V'chili Kelav Ro'im. Now, what does the word Kili mean, and what does Kelav Ro'im mean? Very strange phrase. Kili, he says, Adam shemodeid kol davar b'mida uli olam eini mosif alei. Kili is someone who's stingy. You know, he promises to give 100, so he gives 100. He wouldn't give an extra penny. Don't even, you know, try to, whatever you'll try. And it's really a kind of tsaros ayin. Not only that, his kelim, even the utensils that he uses where he, you know, measures everything, is royim upagumim. And this pasuk, Chizkiyahu wants to apply to himself, that he also behaved in a way that expresses this mid of Kile. Why? Because he didn't get married, and his Kalim, which would have been his wife, and he could have and he could have depended upon his wife and hope that through the influence of his wife and the schus of her father, meaning Yeshaya, he would have children who were banim mehuganim. And yet at the end, he sees that they're banim she'enam mehuganim. So this very sad pasuk is used by Chizkiya to describe his hamatzav hatzuv shalo, his very, very sad situation. Rav Kook takes his Gemara in a whole different direction. Very fascinating. So we're looking now at Kuf Lamed Tes, page 55. He says the following. You know what? I'm going to fast forward, if it's okay with you, to his analysis of the two comments of the two sons. And then Bli Neder, if we have time, because I see it's getting a little late, we'll fill in the missing blanks. So what we're looking at is the bottom right column. And he says the following. Nafik minei Menashe v'Rav Shkia. I think it's about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. You have it?
Yeah.
He says the following. Both of these sons have what we call tchunot ra'ot. But each one, with his evil and very, very negative attributes, is different from the other. And there's a principle called chanoch lanar al pi darko. A parent is responsible to raise his child and bring him to derech ha-musar, to be machshir him, so that now he can learn Torah. And Chizkiyah certainly taught Torah not just to the whole world, but certainly to his children. It can't be v'chichizkia l'chol ha'olam kulo, the Gemara asks, lamad Torah, limeid Torah, ulipinolo limeid. For sure, he tried as much as he could to raise his children in the right way. But, said, tchunoseim his gabru l'mal. Instead of having them improve in their ways and in their midos, they became so bad that Chizkio HaMelech realized that he has to raise his hands and admit defeat. He cannot succeed as a parent to raise these children. And therefore, let me bring them to the Beis HaMedrash, maybe where I failed because I didn't provide them with the right exciting kind of teaching, or maybe I didn't provide them with the right environment. They'll come into the Beis Medrash and the, you know, Avira the Beis Medrash Yachkin. But now let's take a look at the two comments that were made. Now, if we stop here for just 1 second, it seems to me that the word Arkevinhu, or the phrase Arkevinhu Akatfe, which means he piggybacked them, is taken by Rav Kook in a symbolic way to mean that Chizkiyo was trying to elevate them. Chazi Reisha Diablo Metuye Galdana, our father, this is the first approach, Kishrono Shel Aviv Shemesim Libo Lahanigas Ha'am B'derech Tfunos. Just 1 second. In parentheses, it says Lefi Anira Shehi Ravshkia.
Not Menashe.
Not Menashe. I said the opposite. Okay, this may throw a monkey wrench into everything that I didn't notice this parenthesis. So I'm going to ask for Mechila if I may have misunderstood. Because I thought just the opposite. But okay, let's play it by ear. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. I thought this just the opposite. But anyway, so let's see what he's saying. Okay. Right. That's why I thought that this first statement is going to be Menashe. Just, I'm a little bit thrown off by that little parenthesis. Let's just 1 second. Yeah.
Somebody who makes such a statement.
Right. No, Rav Kook is now going to go into the two statements, and it's a beautiful analysis of the different chunot and why there was a chance for one to do tshuva, not for the other. And it's a brilliant analysis, but what throws me off is which one said which. So, bear with me, and I'm hoping we only have about 10 minutes left, but I'm hoping in that 10 minutes I'll be able to juggle this and get the pieces of the puzzle in the right way. Let's see. So again, one of them said the following. Our father has a kisharon, he has an ability, a talent to guide the people, and he's interested in guiding the people in the most logical, intelligent way. And what does he want to do? He wants them to study Torah. He wants them to ascend and climb in spirituality with great, great attributes. But in the eyes of this son, that was not worth anything. Lo nechshav, kol zeh lo nechshav me'uma. Okay, he uses a phrase here that he borrows from Mishle. And now this son has a different perspective on Malchus. Meaning, if it was up to me, the best way of guiding the people is to find a way in which they can expand their happiness. They can enjoy the pleasures of the world, the sensuous and time-related pleasures of the world. and maximize that for the human being and for the nation, so that it's, you know, you limit the amount of the element of humiliation and you maximize happiness and pleasure.
The here and now.
The here and now. Correct. But at this point, there's no avodah zarah. You see, that's okay. Again, I'm hoping this will all work out. He says, "Muvana davar she'atzmo ponelo nitiv lifrok me'olam." Okay, so this individual who expresses that hashkafa, that perspective about what is the job and the role of the king to maximize pleasure and happiness, right? In American terms, they call it the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of happiness. He himself in his own life is certainly going to choose that approach, which removes from him any responsibility of Musar, of ethics, of fear of God, of Derech Eretz, and he will dedicate himself to the extreme pleasures of life. That's one personality. The question is which one that is. Okay, we'll get back to that. The second one says, Avodah Zarah. He understands that the nation has to be guided with some sort of quote-unquote ethical system, but not the one that Chizkiyah is working so hard to impress upon the people, which is Torah Hashem, that's meant to elevate the person higher and higher, but rather, Kiyim, Litmaker L'chusyo Shel Avodah Zarah. But you know which spiritual approach should be the accepted hashkafa for, and the king should try to impress that on the people? It's that of Avodah Zarah. Shehi einena doreshet min ha'adam ma'alot ruach rabba veholechet yachad im kol ha'tavot kulam. Okay, and again, one of these has a chance for tshuva and one does not. So let's go on and see. Chavtinu ha'ara. Oh, now we thought Chavtinu Ara literally means that he killed him. I don't think Rav Kook understands it that way. He says, "Biyoto rosh adrachatos lahem he liloto eles ubosifam dat." The more you teach an evil person, yosifu ra. Right, that's a pasuk in Koheles, that you know, if you have an evil person and you want to pump into him intelligence, it's just going to make him worse and worse and worse. And therefore, he nicham al tivam lisnai kibchirusa. I think those last five words mean not that he threw him on the ground, but he removed them from his shoulders. Meaning, he was trying so hard to be madrich them and guide them and teach them and lift them up. Now he puts them down on the ground. It doesn't mean literally that he threw them on the ground and they died. Menashe chay. Sha'al kopim hayelo bi'ezer rayon musari afal pishu shchat mikomakom kevet sheyesh ezer ma'or sichli hu ra'uy litkayem b'pnei sharei hu lo yashkit al kopanim et haguf b'tavotav ha'mishulachot ki ikir sh'al kopanim leman hatmadat haguf drusha hanhaga ruchaniyut b'miktas al kopanim. So Rav Kook says the exact opposite of what I thought he said. But again, just one second. Maybe that'll answer my question in the next paragraph. Hold on just one second. He didn't even mother. Yeah, now I realize. Because I had a question, and this question that I had in the next paragraph was based on my misunderstanding of who said what, and which one would live, and which one would die. So it's interesting. Rav Kook's approach is that it's Dafka Menashe, the Gemara doesn't spell this out, who would like to substitute for Torah Avodah Zarah. But in doing so, he is looking for some sort of spiritual guide, some sort of light to impact and influence the people in some sort of, again, as distorted as it is, but some sort of ethical system. You see, I was looking at this piece from my perspective, because I don't have any respect for Avodah Zarah at all. In my mind, Avodah Zarah is just a way of justifying a life of pleasure and lust. But I think he's saying that Menashe will live. Why? Because Al Kol Panim Yesh Lo Rayon Musari. He does have some. He realizes, he admits, and acknowledges that there's a need for an ethical system, even if it's hushkas, even if it's distorted, even if it's a violation of the highest level of morality, even if it means bestiality. But nevertheless, it is some sort of spiritual approach. You know what this reminds me of? They say about Israelis who go out after the tzava, you know, sometimes they go out to Thailand and all these places, and they visit gurus and stuff like that. Those are the future Bali Tshuva, because the fact that they're looking for some sort of spiritual guide, even if they're sitting on pins, you know, contemplating whatever, the Eastern religions, but that's indicative that they're searching, they're thirsty for something. I think that's the philosophy that he's approaching. That Menashe, even though his derech is mushkas, but nevertheless, there is some sort of light of intellect here, some sort of spiritual light, and therefore he can live. All we have to do is find a different, if we can get him to switch, you know, the ethical system, and instead of using Avodah Zarah as his method of reaching the Derech HaMusar, we can give him the Torah, he's ready to make the switch. And then Rav Kook adds another element over here, that Menashe is not proposing a destruction of the guf. Lo yashchit al kol panim et haguf. You know, it's maybe the Musar approach is totally distorted, but nevertheless he respects the goof, whereas the first approach and the statement of Rav Shkaya, which was that my father is like a frying pan for small fish, meaning that all we should be interested in is in the pursuit of happiness and pleasure and sensuous enjoyment. It's total hedonism. There is no element here of musar, of looking for an ethical system. And therefore, his approach, tchunato gashmit kula, doesn't have one gargir, not even one element of musar in it. Oh, he spells it out. Below shum tziruf musari. Okay, that's good. We're on the right track. You know, we're beginning to understand. And mess. And why is he going to die? Not again the way we read the Gemara, because Chizkiyahu killed him. That's not what happened. He's going to die a natural death because he's killing himself. It's like the, you know, the drug addicts. You know, ultimately, if you smoke enough cocaine, you know, you're gonna die. You're killing yourself. And then that's the problem of America. America really represents hedonism to its extreme. And that's why America is a civilization that, at least parts of it, are on the verge of collapse. Because pure hedonism and drugs and so forth is ultimately suicidal. Maybe the Russians, the communists, were also interested in pleasure, but at least they had a philosophy of some sort. There was an ethical system.
There's a very strong movement within America of spirituality. Correct. Especially in the South, and they
correct.
Do, and at the basis of it, they say, "In God we trust on the dollar."
Right. That's the silent minority of America that's now becoming more vociferous and more outspoken. But if you turn back the clock to my childhood, like in the 1970s, when I was a college age student, it was pure pleasure. It was Woodstock. It was, you know, run the streets naked. It was, you know, everything was just pleasure to the extreme. And basically, the Chachmei HaMusar of that generation predicted this is the end of the civilization. Somehow, America was able to turn the corner a little bit, but Rav Shkaya had, there was no hope for him. There wasn't even that silent minority that could eventually become a more outspoken influence. Nechleshu kakosav gufnim v'nersu mishitufo b'tavosu. He was so shatuf b'arayas b'taivis saros, without any holds barred, li'ein matzar, and therefore his physical kochos are going to completely disintegrate, and therefore he will die.
It seems from what the Rav was saying that Menashe, his problem was he didn't appreciate the potential within the people. he says avodah zara she'inena doreshet min ha'adam ma'alot ruach rabah.
Who is this? This is Menashe? Oh, Menashe. Okay.
Right.
I'll tell you, we don't have time now, but in the next paragraph, when he speaks about Menashe on the third line, he has a phrase called Shoresh Yitzra Davodah Zarah. And when I saw this, I wrote myself a question mark here, and I was hoping that you would reveal the pshat, because it didn't make any sense to me. I thought that the first approach was that of Menashe, and that it was the Avodah Zarah that did Rav Shkia under. You know, that's what did him under. But it's just the opposite. Rav Kook sees in the Avodah Zarah philosophy or the ethical system of Avodah Zarah of Menashe a light at the end of the tunnel. There's potential for tshuva. Okay, we'll stop here, and B'li Nedar will. I was hoping that we'd finish it up today, but ain davar. And if it works out for Tuesday of next week, you know, I don't know what your projects are.
I'll update the